Impossible is only built on our culture, where we're coming from. The people that sow the seed into our lives. Because possibility sometimes is dictated by the environment that you grow up in. I want you to think about that for a moment with me. I told you the other day, wherever you see oppression, you see religion. Because religion is a way for man to say, I don't know what to do. And sometimes the solutions are there. But we turn to religion as the relief. There must be something divine. And there is God divine. I'm not denying that. What I'm saying tonight is that men broke barriers. Men, what was once upon a time impossible to us, look at how advanced the world is. Men thought it true. And we call it like scientific breakthrough. This breakthrough, men thought. And they made certain things possible that men once upon a time thought is impossible. And depending on where you're born into, your culture, and especially where we come from, everything is impossible. So we're waiting for God to come and do something. But God placed godliness and godism, so to speak, in a man called Abraham. We started with Abraham. Abraham started to dream. God began to speak to Abraham about, in you, that's the gospel, right? Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God said, can you count the stars of in the heavens? And Abraham said, it's impossible. God said, it's possible, because that's going to be the number of your children, as innumerable as they are. Can you count the sand by the seashores? And Abraham said, it's impossible. And God says, it's possible, because that's what you are born to do. And his family will look at him as crazy. And I love what I heard tonight. A brother was sharing this with me tonight, and he said, look, I've got a dream. Yes, he's built a smart city. And he says, when I was saying this, and I'm still saying it, I'm crazy. Yeah, but the world, others are foolish. He said, I'd rather be crazy than foolish. You see, the nation family, we accept that we're crazy. You see, the foolish man, the reason why he's foolish is because he doesn't even know he is. So let's choose one tonight. We choose crazy over foolishness. A crazy is a man who does not have a single child. And he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, because he heard a God, and he's going to bring this God to the realms of men by the things that will be possible for him, and others will say it's impossible. That's crazy. Crazy is, I'm going to a land, and they ask him, where is this land? He said, God is going to give me the land of the Gentiles. Crazy. But the real foolish man is the man who says, none of these things are possible. Uncle Abraham has gone nuts. Spat nation, nation family, we are crazy. We accept it. But I want you to look at the world, and those who call themselves our predecessors, or our friends, or our contemporaries, I want you to look at their life. There is no controversy. There is no craziness. But is it wise? I want to show you the crazies. How God will use a man called the crazy. Moses was crazy. Moses came from the backside of the desert. Moses was living in comfort. That was wisdom to this world. Moses, oh my God. Moses was living in comfort in the king's palace and everything. And something in his heart still made him feel like he's going to be the liberator. He's going to be the one to set his old generation free. Set his own people free. The Jewish nation were in bondage, and somehow a man decides to leave the comfort of the palace and the promises of opulence and greatness and rulership over Egypt, and he leaves that to go fight for his own brethren, and his brethren that were living in poverty. And then his brethren turned against him, and he went to the backside of the desert, and he comes back 40 years after. And he comes to save the whole nation. Moses went to the most powerful king on earth. Moses stood in front of the king and his magicians, and his greatness, with about 250 gods in the palace, the opulent palace of Pharaoh, with all gold and shining stuff in that palace, and Moses walks in with one single cloth. Oh my God, you're not listening to me tonight. He walks in with one single cloth and a staff, and he has another guy by his side in one cloth. And God is saying tonight that those who liberate nations, those who change things, they hear the voice of the invincible. That is God. That is the God that the world is looking for. But Christians told us is in the sky somewhere, and he's saying, I'm in you. He says things like, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Moses walks into this great palace with one stick and says, let my people go. Moses has just gone to ask for the liberation of 3 million people, breaking the economy of Egypt with a staff. Crazy. Oh, that's crazy. That's sick. That's sick. And in case you grew up in church or you heard anything about church, what you're just hearing now to you is going to be Bible story, but the Bible records this man. Number one thing you need in your life is the call. After the call, it gives you a stick. It doesn't give you a lot of money. It gives you a stick. It doesn't give you a lot of people. It gives you just one staff. And your staff is your story, because Moses got the story in the backside of the desert when he was trying to do what is right and his brethren turned against him. He later became a shepherd. That is his staff. And this staff will come back with us one day to liberate a whole generation, because anyone that is still in the nation family today, that is what God called you to do. No more, no less. When you get out of that vision, it is not a curse. You're going down the drain, because he showed you what he called you to do. And parents have no say in this. Predecessors have no say in this. And let me be blatant, I just said it. Predecessors, parents have no say. It's not, let's negotiate. God does not negotiate. The calling does not negotiate. Then he later turns around and says, behold, a man's enemy are the people of his own household. And if they are not your enemy yet, it's because you've not picked up a vision. The moment visions dawns on you, the moment you hear a call, it calls you out of something into something, so you cannot be in both worlds. And I told you that the way to even honor the parent is by giving, is by later in life becoming what God destined you to become, because they don't know as well now. Your becoming is where their blessing is in. But God does not explain that to start with. Moses is crazy. Moses comes and comes before the great king and says, let my people go. And everything Moses will become is in his staff, is in his story. His staff became his strength, even though he was a weak man, but he had his staff. You didn't hear what I just said, right? Even though he was a weak man, he has his own weaknesses, right? He has his own shortcomings. Moses was not perfect, but in his staff, in his story, let me tell you what that story means. In his story, meaning that in what he's tried to do, because it is his trial, he was trying. So we were not going to be perfect in our trying. So our trying and the backlashes of our trying is going to bring up a story. You know what that story will do is to make you stronger, resilient, and because it will show that you pass the exam of hope. Because hope is why we keep trying. Hope is why we fail and we rise again. So Moses came back with hope. But the hope is a story. Our story is our real strength, because that's our real legacy. And legacy is the power. The monies you had and lost is just to create a story. It made you lose it. The monies you gain, everything around your way is so that you can have a staff by which you will stand. Look at what has happened to the nation family of Spark Nation. You have a stronger staff now because you have a story. You have things that you survived, and what you survived is hope to a generation. Are you listening to me? So if you didn't survive anything, there's no hope. Moses was crazy, but you know, the nation was foolish. I choose one. I don't choose foolishness. I choose craziness. I accept it. So they are crazy. I don't know what's wrong with my kid. No, it's crazy. I choose that over foolish. Because again, at least we accept. Why will I not choose that? Man invited me to his mansion today, and I was sitting in front of him. He's been trying to see me for a long time. I mean, he's tried. He really tried. Pursued me, tracked me down, and he sits in front of me and says, let's talk. And he looks at me and says, I just want you to be my leader. And he started to decode Spark Nation. Never knew about Spark Nation, but he's speaking like a national. And I'm looking at him, blown away. And I said, you're spiritual. Do you practice any religion? I said, I'm a Muslim. I pray 5 times a day. But, you know, I saw you passing and my mind said, that is my leader. You know what this guy's done? He went back to his own city, Lebanon. And he said to his friends, he said, I feel my last trip to London was a waste of time. But I saw one man. I'm going back to London tomorrow and I'm going to find him. I feel that's why I went to London. He met with me today and he said to me, he said, now I feel it's fulfilled. I'm not telling him to change his religion. I didn't look for him. I'm not looking for him. God, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Spark Nation, Nation Family, or Nation Family, whatever that thing is, is going to see an avalanche of a new influx of people like we've never ever seen before. I've seen people who have achieved in their own field texting, DMing me saying, you lead, I follow. Why? Because God has grown you to a place where you can go back to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, because they see something. And this guy began to tell me about, I just know you are humble. There's an aura around you. Imagine an unbeliever looking at me and saying, I know there's a Lambo outside. You've got a nice watch on, but I think I know something the first day I saw you. You don't care about those things. You don't want a watch. You don't want a car. You don't want a house. I think you're trying to get to something. You're trying to build a nation. And that's what I'm looking for. But I know it's with you. And that's what I want to do. You didn't preach. I didn't preach it. And I said, well, but I don't explain this thing on Instagram. You must have been listening to my SoundCloud to know that, right? I know it doesn't even know SoundCloud exists. But he knows. And he looks at me and says, you don't have to say it. Those who know will know you. It's unbelievable. Said, I didn't call you here for business or anything like that. You lead, I just follow. Call me your son. That's fine. God is setting an old generation free because of you. He called you into something. And let me give you one scripture before I start preaching. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. What is our own call on a daily basis? What I just told you now is not what excites me. What excites me in that is that some, maybe I will never even see him again, I'll try, but what excites me is that God saying that unbelievers, according to the standard of religion, can decode what believers cannot see. I want to show you a scripture quickly, because the gospel is in you. I just preached that on Sunday. How is a Muslim man coming to me and saying, I just need leadership. Need me. The guy opened his account. I won't tell you what is there. He said, this is what I plan to do with it, but you tell me. What do I do? He said, I don't know. But we keep talking. Saying in you, all the nations, I heard this again tonight. Let me repeat it to you. When Abraham sent Hagar out of his house because Sarah became jealous, and God said, send her away. It's fine. Keep your wife, Sarah, but send this strange woman away. Abraham only gave him a wineskin, but with water. The Arab nation today, God bless, because God said, I will bless your seed, because Hagar cried out to God and God said, I'll bless your seed. Imagine these guys today brought water into the desert because that was what their father lacked. And the angel opened, oh my God, in the desert, the angel opened their eyes because of the blessing that was upon Abraham. So you tell me all Muslims are going to hell. Are you kidding me? In your seed, but they've never seen anyone who carries the gospel. And we decided that today, let me tell you, until they see you and reject that gospel, they've not yet been preached to. They've not seen the gospel. They've seen religion. So they are not condemned until maybe the man today, for example, meets a pity and rejects and says, oh, You know what he said? When I saw you, I started looking for people who know. And people said, he's a powerful man of God, but he also dabbles into other things. I like that. That's fine. He said, so that made me sit up and say, okay, what is it? What do you mean by man of God? What does that mean? They've not seen this gospel. In 3 minutes of him sitting down, me saying nothing, and him just looking, get convicted by the Spirit. In your seed, all the nations will be blessed. But let me go back to my chapter now, so that you know how to jettison religion and embrace the gospel of the nation. Let's read those two scriptures. They are just serious footnote. I'm almost regretting that I said, well, because that can take our whole night. But let's quickly see it. Have you got time for me tonight? Let's talk. Talk to me.
Jesus said to him.
Where are you reading from now?
Mark 9:23.
Jesus said to him,
if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.
You see, Jesus gives the greatest motivation. And he said, look, this is not a spiritual statement. It's a principle of fact and life, all things. And I need you to write somewhere, down somewhere in your note, all things. The meaning of all things is to the exclusion of nothing and to the inclusion of all. You see those words, all and things, you cannot define its things. So please, whenever you see things, it's not spiritual anymore, because things are substance. In other words, they are not imaginary. They are not in the here. They are things. The movie industry, Hollywood is a thing. Gas is a thing. Building a nation is a thing. They are all things because they exist in the realm of men. So how do I differentiate between spiritual statement and physical statement? I mean, and normal physical statement, things are there. Like scriptures like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things. They are things. So don't allow any pastor to interpret that as spiritual to you. They are things. He said all things, meaning anything that men need in the realm of men, anything that gets the attention of men in the realm of men, all things are possible. Jesus teaches this person how to convert what is spiritual into the physical. And he says, it is, you have to be son of Abraham, a man of faith. It is believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So it is not the impossibility of a thing, it's your belief system that is wrong. That's where the problem is. And I think we were born into homes that train us how not to believe. And guess what? They don't need to say don't believe. They just need to act. We don't pick up words, we pick up deeds. Unless it's a word of a deed man. To him that, you see, this scripture alone can stop me for the whole night. So I have to reinvent me. Listen, this is the greatest battle of your life. So if you're still in gossip and all that, the movement already left you. We spoke about the black man today. He doesn't observe his environment. I think I spoke about observation, the greatest study in the world. He doesn't observe. He doesn't learn anything. All he does is gossip. In other words, he can research the life of another person that benefits him nothing, but to observe people and be able to grow in human management. Let me tell you, you do know that your greatest wealth comes from being able to manage people, right? Anyway, let's leave that to your Wisdom Wednesday. All things are possible to him who believes. I'm not talking to a generation of Christians who believe God. You know when people say, I believe God. Hey, listen, nigga, listen. Hey, I'm not talking to God. I'm saying, would you do this? I believe God. Stop. I know you believe God. I know all those stuff. I get it. I'm a pastor, right? The last time I checked, hopefully. But I'm not talking to God. Do it. Because I believe God means it may happen, it may not happen. No. Do it. So Jesus throws this back to the man and says, look, it is possible. For one thing, I love, you know, he never said all things are possible to him who is holy. You can be holy and not make anything happen in this realm. Holiness is important. He never said all things are possible to him who is prayerful and a good man. So are they good? Are they bad men who are believers? They just believe. You see this law here? All things are possible to him who believes. Okay, let's just go to Matthew, you know. Matthew chapter 8. And we'll start from verse 7. This is where I start preaching from tonight. I'm just about to start, but I'm not going to take your time. I've asked you one thing tonight. Can you reinvent you? If you're going to reinvent you, right? You're going to forget every background you have first. I didn't say despise it. It is childish to despise, to say, oh, my mom, dad, oh, don't worry, go away. No, that's rubbish. That won't even work. I'm talking about, can you reinvent from where you came from? The power of limitation is what you see every day, and fear mutilates the brain. It stops it from functioning. Because it actually stops it by empowering it. The brain is structured to keep you safe. So it empowers it to give you logic to fear, reason to fear. And if you keep listening to mom and dad, they fear every day. It's panic life, panic mode. They press that panic mode from their first bad experience in life. And everything about life has become bad. And I'm not saying life will be easy. That's not the point. I'm just saying life will be possible. Is it easy? Well, let's read Matthew 8, man, guys.
And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said,
Master, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but Jesus say, but
only speak a word and my servant will be healed.
This guy is not a Pharisee. It's not a Sadducee. It's a centurion. Let me tell you, those are the people they hate because the Roman Empire came and oppressed the people. So as far as the Pharisee and the Sadducees religion is concerned, as far as alignment with God and those who are doing the will of God is concerned, the centurion is out of it. He's a bad man. He's a useless man. He's the oppressor man. But how is it that it is the oppressor, the bad man, the one that does not belong to religious order? They are the ones that are able to read the servant of God. They are the ones that are able to read that is a man of God. They are the ones that are able to read, whilst the believers cannot read. The good people cannot read, but the bad people seem to be able to read. And I'm not talking about reading books. They can read a person. How is it that believers, some of our parents that worship God, they can't read when they saw a pity? They can't read that's a difference. That's different. They can't read a stagnation. They can't read the call of God over your life. But I guarantee you, a step out of that world, you will see unbelievers are able to read you better. Those who criticize you online are born in church. That's why they are able to say church is not like this. They don't go anymore. But they are good in their own eyes. The foolish versus the crazy. They can't read. But look at this. The centurion, the oppressor, was the one that could come to Jesus and say, I do not even deserve that you come under my roof, but only speak a word. You see what Jesus says here, and my servant
will be healed.
Quicker, talk
for
to me.
I also am a man under authority.
Unbelievers are wiser. Look at the logic of this guy. For I also am a man under authority,
having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes,
and to another,
come, and he comes,
and to my servant,
do this, and he does it.
Verse 10.
When Jesus heard it, he marveled.
Oh my God, you don't understand. I'm sitting in front of the guy today and I marveled. I marveled not because of the mansion. I marveled not because of whatever he has. I don't care. I marvel that a man that does not know God, a Muslim that prays 5 times a day, can look at this and read it. And I have a pastor experience for 25 years and can't read it. I marveled. So I know what Jesus felt. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed him,
"Assuredly, I say to you,"
what did he say?
"I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel."
This man, this centurion, has not done one good work in front of Jesus or bad work, but he found faith. When he found faith, he found Abraham. When he found Abraham, he found God the Father, because for without faith, it is by faith that we know that the words were framed by the word of God. He found faith. That means he found God in a centurion, a man that you will call the oppressor. And God looks at the world, and Jesus said, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth?" He's not looking for goodness. Christianity modifies people. Spirituality, working with God, makes you a new creature. He's not looking for you to be an advanced version of your parent. That's what they are looking for. And God says, "No, no, I need a new creature." So he raised you, Spark Nation, and those who are watching us tonight. This is why I speak with so much passion, because I've been speaking this for years, and sometimes it hardly gets to one or two people, and all of a sudden they are caught away with the bewilderment of the busyness of life. And we all see where our community is going. It ends in the drain. And for the first time, I had another billionaire black man say, "Look, the black man has to accept that he's a loser." People who actually speak passionately and employ people, not those who would stay on the internet, and say, "We first have to accept that we are losers." If pastor says it, I have nothing to do with that. Look at this. No, those who have gone ahead and met all the megastars and made all the billions that they all want to make is saying, "We are." But it's going to turn around. That's why God raised the nation family, guys. That's why God is raising you, guys. He wants to bless the nations. He wants a set to rise up from your community that, and you know, I'll leave this till Sunday. Talk to me.
"Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith."
Verse 11.
"And I say to you,"
this is what Jesus says because of this centurion. What did he say?
"That many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham."
Wait. So we said this on Sunday when Reverend Dapple sent this scripture to us. They will sit with Abraham. I saw the poor man. The Bible calls the place where they were hanging out in heaven Abraham's bosom. It's a place created for men of faith. Now, people have used the story of this rich man and this poor man to teach poverty. Listen to me. For me, that story tells me about a man who added doctrine and stuck to the doctrine and ended up in the bosom of the wealthy, because he would rather be poor than be a nobody. There were many poor men in Israel. Why is it just him? He's talking about the resilience of faith. Rather, because we found them nest in the bosom, not of God, not in the presence of angelic beings, in the bosom of a man. So Abraham actually have a quarters. I won't be surprised if that's where we're all going to. Abraham was a prototype, a God, a man, and God showed his weaknesses to us. Many will come from the east and the west and sit where? In the presence of God? With Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Look at what will happen to our great grand Christian parent if we're not careful. Our great grand church people, 50 years of church experience, they know how to order church. Look at what would happen, verse 12.
"But the sons of the kingdom,"
or the so-called sons of the kingdom, "will do what?
Will be cast out into outer darkness." "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
I'm going to go verse 13 now. Why would they go? Because they are wicked, faithless. They did not bring change to the world. They brought religion. They propagated what they heard without having the... I wanted to drop a nasty word there. Without having the audacity. Without having the audacity to raise a new generation and to push something through. And that's what our community, and I'm sorry tonight, but I'm going to call most of our parenting community. It's not parenting. Parenting is break barriers, not sit down there and let's contain ourselves. African parents are only ready to break barrier if their children at 7 years old can get into football club already organized by someone. But let him or her pursue something that is different from the story they've heard, that so some made millions. Let him try to venture a new path. He said no. All of a sudden, the ones that have children that are footballers or actors, all of a sudden they are free parents that allow their kids, and all of a sudden there's another set that holds their kids down. No, it is not we that are free. We are not the ones that allow our kids. It's whatever community dictates to us. Shame. Shame. They didn't allow us to pursue musical career because it was wrong. It doesn't make sense. Until son came home with message and said, oh, he's a musician. Oh, be free. Oh, shame. Shame, shame, shame on parenting that has no knowledge. Shame on parenting that has no faith. Shame on parenting that is not there to understand what this kid is raised for. But it's fine. It's fine because God found a remnant that will not take no for an answer. A remnant that will pursue their dream without despising parenting. We're not going to despise parenting, but we're not going to. We're not going to submit to faithlessness. Because you see, faithlessness would destroy all of us, including our parents eventually. Because a generation must be better than the last. But if we teach up the next generation, is the last generation, they would also produce the result of the last generation. So God raises people, preachers, new generation. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One would have said, this God, not what he just said now has nothing to do with faith. But look, it started with faith. Look how verse 13 ends this conversation.
Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.
Did you notice that he did not correct him of any wrong he might have done or not done? Did you notice he didn't ask him, okay, so now are you going to be my disciple now? Did you notice he did not say, come to church tomorrow? Did you notice he did not say, well, now as you're going to observe prayer, do you know that he blessed him? Do you notice that he blessed him with the healing? Because in you, all the nation, it doesn't matter if he's a Roman centurion or a Pharisee who comes to him, anyone who can read him right and have faith will change the world. And for the first time, this guy made wireless communication, wireless healing happened because he had faith to create something new. And God looks at everybody in the nation family. It doesn't matter if you're 7 or 8 or 10 years old or you're 30 years old. And God looks at you tonight and say, who really are you behind closed doors? Because he's now not looking for your perfection. He's looking for your faith. That faith is not the one they taught our parents. It's not faith to buy a car. I told you last Sunday, I told you that when technology or advancement catches up with something, it ends the era of spiritual dimension to it. It starts another level of faith. So you can heal people on wheelchair. Everybody will just be looking at you. Technology has caught up with that. It's fine now. They can make that work now, guys. So what is the new generation level of faith nation? How do you build a nation? It's very simple. If in case you're looking at yourself tonight and say, I'm just small, who am I? You already built a nation. Guess what the name? Spark Nation, Nation Family. From there, you advance and spread to the nations of the world. You become a prototype that the nations of the world want to be like. That's because everybody is playing his role. COD is a nation. Elite is a nation. You work together. You give as a nation because you have faith. So you will rather end up in the bosom of Abraham. Faith than being the rich man in hell. He was rich because he had faith. He didn't have faith. Listen to this. The Bible calls him a rich man because he stored up money for his good. That's not faith. This man died trying. He was in the house of a rich man. He wasn't the only poor guy. I don't know how the church twisted that. No, they didn't even twist it. They think about these scriptures. If I want to use that man to teach poverty, guess who he went to live with? One of the richest men. It makes no sense. You begin to ask the church, did you lose your head? Do you not think? And they don't, because someone passes things down. We don't look at it and say, how can this be a lesson in poverty when he's in the bosom of Abraham? Was Abraham poor again? Look at this prototype, guys. Look at the call over your life. You're chosen. Look, I think my announcement is just to come tell you, you're chosen. You look around you and say, how can I be? Look, everybody was born as a baby, including Jesus Christ. What changed their lives? What changed all their lives, guys? Moses was born as a normal baby. Jacob, Joseph. What changed their lives? You don't know. One day they heard a message. So, well, what makes you special is the message you encounter. Forget the messenger. The messenger is important. The messenger has to be pitied to get your attention. But that the word came to you, that you heard it, that you didn't respond to that word like your friends. Some of you came to the nation family with friends. A message came. But the difference between a normal man and a man who achieved greatness was a message came. Joseph's one came in a dream. Even though his father has been telling him the message with cloth of many colors. Daniel's one came as in slavery when Nebuchadnezzar sent his servant out. Moses one came in the burning bush. And every other person since the time, Jesus' one was a message. John the Baptist and a bird came and said, this is my beloved son. It is the word you receive and you're exposed to that makes you special. So you may look at your life and say, but I wasn't born with two heads. The moon didn't come out the day I was born. There's no specialty around me. You're missing something and it's right in front of you. Why did this message come to you? Why did you take a liking to a pity at the time you took a liking to him? The message came to you. So don't despise that because there is no moon that came out. There's no special thing around your life. What is special? Is what is right in front of you. Why you're listening to me at this time on the Thursday night is a message because you're chosen. There are more than 6 billion people in the world. Why are you the one hearing this? Why are you the one seeing this? Why are you the one that went through the persecution we went through with us? Why you? Why? It is a message that changes everybody's destiny. You know, there's a scripture that says, know ye not that ye are gods? To whom did he say ye are gods? To those whom the word of God came to. The word does not come to everybody. There are people who are listening to pity and what they will pick is that offending and offending. What they will pick is drippy, da 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 da. This message did not come to them. And I don't bother for it to come to them. The other man, the later man that I mentioned, I said something powerful to. If you don't care to know me, when we meet, I don't need to talk much to you about me. Why am I going to advertise me? Once you get that scripture, let me know. It is a message that why something in you tuned to this message. Moses said one day, he said, now I will turn to see. And the day that message came, do you know, until then, apart from the fact that Moses without God was trying, he was looking for something like most of you. You were looking for something, so he became a murderer, he became whatever. He was just looking for something, and one day a message came to him. Maybe there's someone watching tonight, and this message came to you. You probably even came here to find an abuse, but a message came to you. Why? Look at those who abuse you. They spend time to log on to your Periscope and Instagram. They are looking for a message. It's just that their mind is so polluted with the environment. You pray for them so that they are looking for a message. Otherwise, you can't tune into someone you hate and be watching. It makes no sense. They actually love something, but they have to hate it first because their mind has been damaged. Look at this scripture.
John 10:31.
Talk to him.
Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God."
Did you see that? They said, "You, being a man, you make yourself God." He didn't force God on them. Why do you hate him this much? Because he's actually God. Look at what he would tell them in verse 34.
Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are God'?"
He said, "Look, is it not written in your law that you're not normal? Man is God. Man, and that does not mean you feel like you are better than God, because those who have criticism mind, they would then say, "Oh, so you're equating yourself with God. Almighty God is the only God." Shut up, man. That's not what I'm talking about. This is not children's class. Just shut up. I don't mean to be rude. I just mean to be passionate. Is it not written that you are gods? Verse 35.
"If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be
broken." Did you see that? What makes them God? That the moon came out the day they were born? That there was a great noise in the east the day I was born? You know, sometimes you try to look for why you are special. You're looking. And when you don't find, like you don't have some peculiar, special, mysterious story, you feel like, "I don't think I'm special." No. He never said the people he called gods had special birth. He said, "To whom the word of God came." He said, "And the scripture cannot be broken." In other words, this cannot but be if the word came to you. So my point of emphasis tonight is that the word of nation, why were you born in the time you were born and PT came at the time it came and started speaking nation? Because that makes you God. You despise that word to your own detriment. You free your mind from everything that has held you down. You rise to that status. You cannot take yourself to that status. The word came, and in this word, there is empowerment for everything. You don't need to try to be a billionaire. If you are called within this, you will operate as God within that realm, and nothing born in this world will stop you because you are gods. Look at this. He said, who did he refer to as gods?
TPT, sir.
Talk to me.
So if those who have the message of the scriptures are said to be gods.
Did you see that? Those who have the message. So what does the devil want to take from you the most? This message. He calls those who have the message God. So there will be gods in finance, gods in music industry, gods. But you have to be an embodiment of this message. There's no other way around it. Otherwise, you won't. He said, if those who have the message of the scriptures are said to be gods, then why
would you accuse me of blasphemy?
You see, they call them blasphemous. He said, anyone that has the message, your life will be mysterious. You will not know how it works. Why? Because you are a good man? No, because you have a message. Whatever stagnation or pity has done in this nation, mysterious to people as it is because it's a message. The power of the finance of this house, the power of the safety, the power of exploit is the message. If the devil succeeds to take the message from me, I'm empty. Forget whatever wisdom. The wisdom is in the message. You see the song you're singing, the album you want to do and all that. If it lacks message, it is not God. And you see now, we've changed the concept of God from a spiritual being that is mysterious to you now. That does not mean he doesn't exist. Almighty God exists, guys. However, it is now you. So, what actually happens in faith, in belief, is this. It makes you the God of this realm. In other words, as simple as that is, it's not simple. I'm struggling to interpret that. You see, God commanded the galaxies, the stars, and the Orions, and everything, right? by the word of his mouth, right? Impossibilities became possible. God says, if you believe, you enter that status. You say things like, I will build a 10 billion pound industry. It will happen. But it is not, you know why it didn't work for the faith movement people? They blabbed it to get it. They think that by saying it many times, it would then happen. What you've not become will not happen because you didn't become it. You say it to become it. You are here. Your mind and your courage, everything has switched to that. So Abraham was not doing positive confession. God told him, you are father of all nations. He is now Abraham. He's not confessed to be Abraham. It's not confession. So the English word could not find another word for confession. It is you. You become it. So it is not Beryl saying, I will sell 1 billion album. I'll sell 1 billion album. And she's now open. Now, if I keep saying it will happen. No, you see many people. You did it once upon a time, right? Did it take you a week? After a week, you started saying, oh, things are terrible. Because you didn't become it. Those who have the message, they live in it. They thrive in the message. I don't want to come to the message yet because I still have one more journey before I close. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 51. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Start from verse 1. I want to close now. I'm speaking to gods tonight. Abraham became a god. No wonder. I look at the life of Abraham. How can you overcome 5 kings with 318 men? Trained in your own household. Only God can do that. He must have invisible armies fighting for him. So you're not going to conquer HSBC by the number of your certificate. It's going to be a vision in your heart. You can't confess that to happen. But why do we keep speaking it? So that we become it. We live the reality of it. We give according to the reality of what we know we are. You didn't hear what I said. How can kids give 1K? What is 1K? What is 1K? But you see, the community we are coming from, we don't put anything together to build nothing. No, you know that you are gods. And he said, who is gods? Who are they? A message changed their lives. Not a dream even. See, many people tell me, I dreamt I built a big house and I drove a mighty car. They've told me years ago. The mighty car, now I realize, is London Bus. This is huge. Nothing wrong with London Bus. I'm just saying to you that nothing happened because they didn't become it. They didn't become that thing. So the best dream is not the one you had whilst you were sleeping. It's actually the one you had whilst you were awake and who you have become. I learned something so powerful tonight. I love it. The man said you have to actually accept who you are becoming. Because people will not accept it. So they accepted me when I was a pastor. A good pastor. But you're becoming a guy outside of the four walls. And who you're becoming, they've not seen it before. And they rejected it. You also, you might struggle with it and say, what is this? And he says, you have to accept who you're becoming first. Do you accept that you are billionaires for the sake of the kingdom? So when I talk about billions, if you're watching for the first time, these are not people moved by money. I'm not. If you have eyes, you will know I'm not. You have to accept that's who you are. That's who you are becoming. That's why you still have doubt about the nation family. Because what is making you become, you are thinking, am I sure? You know, mommy said that a good Christian. No, there's nothing called good Christian. In fact, there's nothing called Christian. Sorry, I know that's another level here. Now, why are you fighting? Oh my God, he just said there's nothing called Christian. What is it? You're watching me tonight. You're not, 90% of you, you're not white. What is it in your language? Did it come from your culture? The word Christian, I mean. Did it come from your culture? What is it? Before you start fighting for an English name. We're going to sing something about freedom, or God setting our minds free, because Once that is free, you understand the basis of the covenant. So when you hear things like Abrahamic covenant and simplify, believe, faith, no long thing. It is not confession. It is not wannabeism. It is actually accepting this is who you are. Look at what God says here, because he shows us God as Abraham. Men who did the impossible. Isaiah 51 verse 1, listen to me.
You who follow after righteousness,
you will seek the Lord.
Look to the rock from which you were you, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug.
Did you see? He's going to tell you the rock from which you were here. He said, and the pit from which you were dug, you were found out. What dug you out? Look at verse 2. Look to who?
Abraham, your father.
He said, I look to God. In the definition in real terms, what does that mean? And God exists. There is God. For those who come to him must believe he is. I believe. But really, be honest with yourself. What does I look to God mean? You know, most times it means, I don't think I can do anything anymore. And there are still things you have done. So he simplifies it for us. He said, look to Abraham. He said, look to the rock from you which you were healed. You know, healing means where you were carved out from. If you're going to enter into this covenant, you must be carved out from somebody. You must, he said, be ye followers of those. Before, look to God, people start crucifying me. He said, what scripture did I just quote now? He said, look at me. No. He said, be ye followers of those who through faith and patience obtain the promise. So every man is carved from a certain rock. A rock means unrepentant, a non-conformist, someone that is crazy enough in a generation to believe something and to follow it through and not to stop. He said, look to Abraham, your father. He calls Abraham father because Abraham has become a rock. He's become a prototype of the kind of people God's in the realm of men. You don't have to have banking license to build a bank. You have banking faith. You have the anointing for it. You don't have to have whatever music license, record label to be a label of music. No, you need a faith label. And if faith can label you as crazy, you can raise the greatest label because you have faith. For the impossible, this is not confession. This is not just Christian stuff. Look to Abraham, your father. Abraham did not start his journey by what Christians would call faith. He had a voice. It was a message saying in you, Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, saying in you all the nations of the earth. Oh my God, I feel the anointing so powerfully right now. Saying in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now upon that promise, he based the movement of his life. So faith is not mental acceptance. Faith is movement. Faith is that I believe that this is impossible. I will, even if my head is doubting, I'll just keep walking the walk of what I know in my heart. And it may be crazy, it may be out of order. So faith is not just what I accept. So sometimes my mind doubts, even the bigness of this walk. Sometimes my mind still doubts, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to walk the walk. I'm not going to stop because of my doubt. That is faith. God is not looking for faith just in your mind. Faith is what you have become. Faith is the centurion looking at his daughter, his servant, dying and saying, just speak a word. He walked the walk. So please don't say my head is always doubting. Let her walk the walk. Your given last month, this month, whenever is the walk. You're saying to God, I believe I can be a billionaire. I believe I am. You guys give like billionaires. So you tell me that, oh, well, maybe I will be poor. You already give as a billionaire. That's the walk. In other words, Abraham was living like the father of all nations, as if he has many children, and he has none. He even called himself the name, but he lived like it. No wonder there were servants in his house. He was feeding other people's children because he's already a father, even without a son. Are you listening to me? Even without a daughter, he was already a father. He was walking the walk. He lived his life dependent on the promise that was in his spirit, and everything around you is constructed to stop you from walking that walk. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah.
Who bore you?
Oh my God, Sarah was barren, you know. Sarah had no child till 75. When you're 35, your parent is already panicking because they are built to make sure that you don't leave that cave. You are not dog heart. It is not their fault. They are not wicked. Far from it. Just don't know. And to Sarah, who bore you? For
I called him alone. And blessed him and increased him.
Please, how many people did he call him with? Alone. The message changed his life. The message was contingent upon his condition. But the condition was setting him up. This is how I know that the community I came to, all the crimes there, all the problems and the poverty, which is the chief problem, poverty of mind. Our community, our parents were poor in mind. Even when they had money, they are poor in mind. The poverty of mind and the poverty of material things is why God raised me in this city, in this nation, at this time. And that message is what you heard. God used whatever to set you up to come and hear the message of your life. And what God is saying tonight, therefore, is who has this message come to? Who is fired up in their spirit? I'm about to pray. Who is fired up in their spirit for this freedom, prosperity, and what nation, above all, nation building message? If this message has come to you and you've received it with your own heart, you move like God in this realm. If anything is stopping you, it's because you've not fully accepted the message. It's great to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but sometimes when we accepted Jesus, we somehow it was manipulated into religion for us. And tonight God says it's a message, because Jesus must have an interpretation in every generation. So even if you don't know what I'm saying tonight, you see my passion, look through the camera and tell me that is not a sincere man who is on fire for something in his heart, trying to fire up a generation. Look into the camera and say, that's a man who just wants money. Money for what exactly? I've seen everything that I need to see. I need messages. You are those messages. And what this night is supposed to send you out to do is to spread this message, spread this word. And do not take no for an answer. Don't allow Christianity to stop you, because it has no power. It is the message. The message is what creates relationships. So when we say it's not about religion, it's about relationship. Are you guys ready for me though? When we say it's not about religion, it's about relationship. There is no relationship without message. Jesus will have to come and speak to you if he knows that you've embodied the message. He sent Moses back and said, go and tell Pharaoh. That's a message. So no matter how powerful Pharaoh is or was, there is a greater message in front of him. I'm saying to you tonight that there is a greater message than all the Jay-Z's of this world. That message is in the mouth of S. Rose. There is a greater message than the Beyoncé's of this world. That message is Crystal, is Beryl. Those are messages. There is a greater message than the Messi's and the big football agents of this world. That message is a lady. There is a greater message. The bank message is right here, right now. And what God wants you to do is to arise, fulfill your destiny. It's better to die than not to fulfill destiny. I'm telling you, in this one lifetime, blessed with life, blessed with age, rise up, fulfill the message as one. Let's worship God tonight. God bless you. Listen, on that night, wasn't Moses anymore. It was a message. I just told you what Pharaoh was like. This is the biggest king, powerful, economic power, everything. And Moses comes and says, let my people go. Imagine what was standing in front of Goliath was a message called David. David was a message anointed by Samuel. And Goliath had all he had the stature. HSBC has the stature. All this big music label that you will look at and say, how can you ever overcome this? Look at the money. Look at how many followers. 1 billion followers. Look, they did a streaming yesterday. Goliath. Goliath is empty. He just has stature. Goliath is only existing because messages have not come up. Let me tell you, Abner and the brothers of David, they were there in the war front. They had military clothes. They were the Christians. They looked like, oh, we are the ones who are in battle formation. But this Rudy boy came from the backside of the desert and he comes as a message. And this message only needed a stone to kill something that looks so gigantic. Let me tell you something. If you understand this message, you become God to Goliath. You become God to Pharaoh. God told Joseph, said, now I made you a father. He made him the father of Pharaoh. These guys came to strange land without anything. No money. No military, no guns, no knife. Just as a message. You know what is killing us? You're trying to be a message. You're listening to pity, but many other things are happening at the same time. He won't walk. Don't allow the children, the people to come from the east and the west and sit with Abraham. Whilst you, God forbid, that you are the children of the sons of light that are cast into darkness. Arise. Let's sing that one more time and I'm going to pray with you tonight. I just want to...